This is a download from Newstalk 106 to 108. To download other programs or for more information, go online to newstalk.ie. The Right Hook.
With thanks to Hibernian, where your local branch is in great condition for health insurance.
Newstalk 106 to 108.
My guest on the Thursday interview is actor Stephen Ray, and on Tuesday he will co-host Rock Ling Rish at Vicar Street. That's this coming Tuesday. There'll be prominent artists such as Brian Kendi and others, but importantly, all the funds raised will go to Gael Coláiste de Rochran, a second-level all-Irish school in Donaghmede in North County Dublin. Doors will be open at 7, and the tickets at €30 are available at Ticketmaster. Stephen, in Vicar Street next Tuesday, who's on the show?
Well, you've mentioned some of them. Brian Kennedy, Des Bishop, who alarmingly is one of the finest proponents of the Irish language at the moment, and Myriad and Trina Nicola are doing it. Noel Hill, who I call the Jimi Hendrix of the box, he's going to be on. Neil Martin, wonderful cellist with his the West Ocean String Quartet. Brendan Begley, and a lot of other people too. It's going to be great. And Pauline McGlynn, the great and witty Pauline McGlynn.
Now, Stephen, it's in aid of Gael Coláiste de Rochran. Is this particularly close to your heart?
Well, both my sons have gone there. The eldest boy left last year after leaving cert, and the second boy is doing his leaving cert as we speak, about to do it. And I really loved their time at the school, and I think they've loved it too. So it's just a way of helping them make a bit of dough.
Sure, but it's a Gael Coláiste. That means you have a great interest in the Irish language, one presumes.
I have a strong interest, George, in it, you know. But I think if you're Irish, why not know it?
Yeah, because, and this is the point here, I suppose, and it's a very important microcosm of Irish history, because you were born in Belfast of a working-class Protestant Republican family. Now, that must have put you in a bit of a minority.
There's a lot more of us than you think, really. You know, they're out there. And I would say it's more that people who were not interested in just towing the line as it existed in the North, you know.
But this was the great Wolfetone tradition of uniting Protestant, Catholic and dissenter. Yeah. You're a classic example, really, of the Wolfetone tradition.
I think so, yeah. I mean, that's what I believe in. I believe in citizenship. I don't believe that any one group should have superiority over other people. You know, I see this less and less in the country we live in now, but you know, I believe that the immigrants should have a fair shake as well. And a lot of the immigrants are learning Irish, I discover. There are Polish people out there who can speak Irish.
I was looking at, where the Brazilians now, half the hurling team are Brazilians, and the hurling team wouldn't survive in the parish without the Brazilian hurlers. But, you know, when I meet actors like you, because, of course, the great Noel Coward said, don't put your daughter on the stage, Mrs. Worthington. When you decided, you know, you wanted to be on the stage, was there a lot of people telling you, don't do it? What was family encouragement like?
Not great, you know. No, it was. I mean, I think my father would have thought that there were a lot of homosexuals, and there are a lot. But I'm not one. But actually, our local butcher said to me, "Go and do it." Yeah, a man called Brian Fleming said to me, "They're all trying to drag you down into their little rut." So, believe it or not, when you're 16 or 17, these kind of words were rare and encouraging. Yeah.
But, you know, one of the things, of course, about the acting profession is the incredible insecurity of earnings. Are you insecure, therefore, yourself?
Well, you know, I've never had a job. That's the point. I've had a series of jobs, but I've never had, held down a full-time position. I don't feel it insecure. I just feel I'm available for the next thing. My mother wanted me to be a teacher, but your teachers have a far less secure living than I do.
Television was the first kickoff, was it, or did you start on stage?
No, I started on stage. Okay. At the Abbey.
Yeah. And what was that like? I mean, how terrifying is stage? I mean, I remember talking to the actor, the New Zealand guy, Neil, who was in the Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
And I mean, he said to me he couldn't go on stage.
He'd
be too Sam Neil. He'd be terrified, he said.
Well, I think it becomes more terrifying the older you get. I didn't find it terrifying when I started because I just was bursting to get on there. Now I've done a lot of movies and movies are not as terrifying. It's not as terrifying a day to go and do a movie as it is to start your day knowing that you're going to go on stage that night and maybe stand on your own for an hour and a half and talk as I do in the Sam Shepard play that I've been doing. So it is terrifying. It's utterly terrifying. And I suppose it's like, I mean, do rugby players be terrified? Or do they channel it? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I can tell you I get quite terrified before I do every broadcast. So I think probably we all do in our different ways.
Yeah.
But one thing always about actors is this whole idea of awards. I mean, not too many Irish people have been nominated, and of course even fewer have actually won Academy Awards. You were nominated for The Crying Game.
Yeah.
What did you think of the whole experience, the whole Hollywood experience?
Well, you know, I'd never been in Hollywood, except the first time I arrived in Los Angeles was when I was nominated. So it was an unusual experience for me. I suppose it was something that every American actor would have wanted, and I just got it first time, you know. So we were all laughing about it. It was funny. You go into the theater and there's people screaming your name who 2 weeks ago didn't know who you were and probably in 2 weeks' time won't remember who you are, but they're screaming your name and just laughing, you know. The Americans are terrified. Pacino, white as a ghost, you know. Denzel Washington, shaking. You know, because they all want it so badly. It's so much part of their culture. It's not part of our culture in the same way.
Well, that's an interesting question, that you say it's not part of your culture, but there is a competitive urge that beats in all of us. You wanted to win, did you not? I mean, sitting in the seat when the envelope came up, you wanted to win, did you not? And therefore, the question, were you not deeply disappointed when you didn't?
No, I wasn't really. Because I was terrified of the idea of speaking, of getting up and doing this witty off-the-cuff speech, which I hadn't prepared. So if I'd won it could have been quite embarrassing. But I suppose later on, when it emerges just what winning an Oscar means, although being nominated meant quite a lot anyway, but you think, well, if I'd won it, you know, then your fee goes up by millions.
But also nominated for a Tony, which of course is for a stage performance.
Yes.
Remind me why you were nominated for
Tony.
Well,
I was in a play at the same time as being nominated for the Oscar. I was in a play on Broadway by Frank McGuinness, the great Frank McGuinness, called Someone Who'll Watch Over Me. It's about hostages in Beirut. It was a wonderful play. So I was having the time of my life with the two things happening at once. And I got nominated for a Tony, but I didn't win. But it was a rare occurrence for somebody to get nominated for both on the same year.
Now, my guest on the Thursday interview is actor Stephen Ray, who, if you want to see him, your next chance is next Tuesday in Vicar Street, of all places, where he's co-hosting Rock Ling Arish, and you can get tickets from Ticketmaster or buy them at the door. Collaboration between directors and actors has always been the stuff of filmmaking, you know, whether it was John Ford with John Wayne or John Huston with the others and so on. You've had an extraordinary collaboration with Neil Jordan.
Yeah, I've been very lucky that my career's coincided with his. I was in his first film. My first film was his first film, Angel. And he stuck with me at significant moments in his career, you know, Crying Game notably. And he's just written a new movie, which is extremely brilliant piece of writing. And he's going to shoot it, hopefully in the summer, with Colin Farrell and myself in some function or other.
Which one of the 8 collaborations was the one most meaningful for you?
The Crying Game.
Because it was the first?
No, the first was The Angel, which was brilliant. And, you know, because the thing about Neil is he's such a complete director. His first script was a complete experience. It wasn't that he had to find who he was as a writer. He arrived on the scene and you knew that he could direct and you knew that he could write. But the Crying Game was significant in a lot of ways because it had got so much worldwide attention. But it was a kind of interrogation of the problems in the North, really. And in that way, I think it had some effect on things.
What about you listening to, Belfast Protestant, Republican, now living in Dublin. I'm not trying to pigeonhole you here, but was there any particular reason you moved from Belfast to Dublin?
Well, you know, I moved to Dublin to join the Abbey when I was very young. That was the first thing. That was my first move out of Belfast. I'd always liked Dublin. You know, I mean, I don't, and I say this without being disparaging about Belfast. You know, you would get out of Belfast if you got a chance, you know. I mean, I always go back and check and see where, how far I've got, or if I haven't got any distance at all. But you have to move, you know. You have to keep going. And I've lived on other, I mean, I've lived in London a lot, and I've lived in New York, and I might live in New York again when the two boys are finished with this school that we're, whose benefit we're promoting. But, you know, Belfast's a hard place to live.
My guest on the Thursday interview, of course, the actor Stephen Ray. Going back to where we were there, I remember just saying to me that movie making wasn't hard work. But you constantly go back to the stage. Is that because almost in a sense the stage is real acting, is it? Or do you have a preference?
It is real acting, I'll tell you. You learn how to act if you do theatre, because you do so much acting when you're in the theatre. You know, you do, if you go do a day's work in the film, sometimes you might do 3 minutes acting. In the theatre, you do hours of it, you know, and you really learn how to act. But that isn't really why I go back. I've gone back recently because of a great play that Sam Shepard wrote with me in mind called Kicking a Dead Horse. There are other plays that I may do, and you just go with the scripts, you know. Actors develop through the scripts that they do, you know, the parts that they're asked to realize. That's what pushes you more than anything else in the world, more than a great director. It's the writers who draw something out of you.
Because interesting you talk about scripts. You've been quoted, you know, I'll paraphrase here. You've been quoted sort of saying the script is the thing, that the script is everything. Without the script, there is nothing. And in a sense, you give the impression you wouldn't take the gig if the script wasn't right.
Well, you'd be mad to, and I have done sometimes, and it's always a mistake.
Well, I was going to actually put the corollary of that question to you. Yeah. Why, therefore, have there been so many examples of actors turning down what proved to be great scripts? Maybe why do you think that happens?
They don't know how to read a script. It wasn't right for them. It was right for somebody else. But the constant thing in my career has been receiving, thanks be to God, wonderful scripts. I've seen lots in the last few months. I've seen a wonderful script by Sebastian Barry. I've seen Neil's new film script. I've got another new play to do by Sam Shepard called Ages of the Moon, which I'm going to do with Sean McGinley. It's a massive present. It's a gift that you get through the post.
But I've seen a film script only out of interest. Mm. And I find it extraordinarily difficult how you can read it and say this is good or this is bad. Now, I accept you've experience of reading them. But isn't there so much in the bringing of the script to life?
Yes,
I mean,
of course
I'm thinking about the director, even the lighting director. I mean, how he might light you. You know, all those other components, which maybe when reading the script, you can't actually assess.
Well, the problem is the director in film is so important, and he may not see the script that you see, and therefore the script that he brings to life may not be what you wanted it to be. But in theatre, mostly, if it's a great script, it's going to be a good production. I think, you know.
Yeah, a film actress who nobody will remember died last week, and she played the part of a young refugee wife in Casablanca, who Humphrey Bogart allows her husband Wynne to escape from Casablanca. But she was directed by Hitchcock later on, and at the end
this
of
is
the,
Ingrid Bergman.
No, this is a small yeah. part, and she said. Mr. Hitchcock, like, you haven't said anything to me for this whole movie. And he said, well, if you're, that's because you weren't doing anything wrong. In this collaboration with Neil Jordan, how did it work? I mean, did he sort of say, Stephen, I want you to do this. I want you to display more emotion, or I want you to be angrier or whatever. How did that collaboration work?
Well, he would never give you a bad note. He'd never give you, like, more emotion is kind of a bad note that you do get from directors. You get things like, I need you to be more angry. He said, well, I'm being angry, you know, I don't know how. So Neil would never do that. No, the most Neil would do was he would tell you the story again. He'd say, remember that this and this and this has happened. And often I've made suggestions to him. He often accepts them, but frequently he'd say, I thought of that already and rejected it. I mean, it's not, I've found it a very easy relationship.
So many actors eventually get behind the camera. Have you ambitions of getting behind the camera to direct?
Yes, I have. I've been working on a script with a very fine Dublin writer called Garrett Baker, and I'm hoping that we might get somewhere with it. I think it's a very interesting movie about Dublin at the present time.
Finally, you know, on Tuesday, as I said, you're in co-hosting Rockling Arish in Vicar Street for a Gael Caloiste in Donegal.
Yeah.
And you've expressed that great interest in language, the Irish language. You come from a Protestant Ulster family. Forgive me repeating it, but for people who've come to the programme late, a Republican. Are you political? Are you active politically?
No, I'm not active politically. No, apart from yelling at the TV or, you know.
In a week that Paisley and Ahern have met at Boyne, I mean, you know, did you feel any emotions or?
No, I just wonder, is this what you have to do to try and lure people with fascist instincts into working in a democracy?
But you mentioned going back to Belfast, Stephen, very regularly. You must see a very different Belfast, mustn't you, from the Belfast of 20 or 25 years ago?
Well,
for the better, I would suggest, no?
Yes, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, of course, it was 30 years of hell. But, you know, it was pretty hellish before it as well. What remains to be seen is whether these things can be teased out into something that functions rather than it is dysfunctional, because it has been dysfunctional for all of its existence, the Northern State.
All right, well, good luck with the career. It was interesting that you said to me that you never had a job in your life, but looking at the CV, you've been pretty busy. So all these long may the busy continue on stage and screen, and particularly good luck with the project that you may direct. I'm sure
Thank you, George.
Want to do that. Can I just remind you, because Stephen is with me today, Thursday, because Rockling Arish is in Vicar Street, and it's a great cause. Gael Caloiste Rockran, the great axe. I'd love to say, listen to this fella Ray, who says, you know, he needs a script to talk, and now he's going to co-host what it looks like a pretty big concert. I think it's going to be big, great fun, even if it's only to watch the host get through the evening. Stephen, every success.
George, thank you very much indeed.
My guest, Stephen Ray. My thanks to everybody on the programme. We'll be back, of course, tomorrow at 4:30. Stephen Ray and The Right Hook bid you good night.
Thanks for listening to a Newstalk 106 to 108 podcast. To find out more, visit newstalk.ie.